Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Near side, Barkley is in the slot. He'll give it to Stevens. Fakes the pitch to Barkley to the 20. Near side, 15 to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. They cap a 91-yard opening drive as Tommy Stevens takes it home for his second rushing touchdown of the season. Barkley to the left. Sorley, quarterback draw, following Barkley to the 5, lowers the shoulder and rolled down to the goal line. Touchdown, Penn State! Funk comes in now as the tailback. More physical presence back there in the pistol. Edwards, wing left. Wide receiver each way, 4th and 1, their own 44. Turns, Funk, hit in the hole, and he didn't make it. Jason Kabinda was there. Jack, he didn't get there.
No, they had to get to the 45-yard line, and he is short.
On the near hash, Barkley now shifts to the near side, to the left of McSorley. On second and goal at the 2. Motion toward us. McSorley, a shovel pass to Gesicki. He's there. Touchdown, Penn State. And Davenport fumbles, Jack. It's on the turf. Robert Windsor has it. Penn State recovers. They tried to fool Penn State with a quick snap. They did, but then Davenport caught it, fumbled it, and Robert Windsor gets the recovery for Penn State, and that's the third fumble he's recovered this season. It's McSorley keeping it. He looks in the end zone. He throws Gesicki. One-handed catch, touchdown, Penn State. What a fabulous one-handed catch by Mike Gesicki. Warren Jacobs far side, Davenport Turner near side. Harrison to the left of Bortschlager. Fourth down and 4. Back goes Bortschlager. Pressure from Haley and down he goes. Back at his own 34-yard line. Grant Haley with the corner blitz off the edge. Tesla looks back. Now they're ready. Takes the snap, put down. Kick by Davis is up, and the kick by Tyler Davis is good. And Penn State expands its lead to 31-0 with 2:24 to play in the half. Hayward, the tight end near side. They have Edwards in front of Harrison. They will give it to Harrison. Bounces to his right, hit in the hole, driven back, and it's all spot.
That is close, but I think he might be short.
If it happens, it'll be the third time today Penn State has stopped them on downs, and indeed they have stopped them on downs again. Third time today, Penn State has stopped them on downs, and they'll start from their own 27-yard line. So fourth and goal, a half yard out. Barkley flies up over the top, touchdown, Penn State. 15th rushing touchdown of the year. 20th touchdown of the year for Saquon Barkley overall. Swimming on the ground, hangs in bounds at the 14, picked up there by Leak. Leak is going to be hit at the 15 and driven down. He fumbles the football, and Penn State recovers at the 13-yard line. Fumble recovered by Zach McPherson. Sorley, Barkley, right side, spins to the goal line. Touchdown, Penn State. Saquon Barkley, his second rushing touchdown of the quarter, and Penn State leads 44-0 with 7:12 to play in the third. Stevens, will throw in the end zone, fires, caught, touchdown, Penn State, Tom Pankos, his first career touchdown catch. What a great moment for the senior. First and goal just outside the 3, near hash. Stevens, quarterback draw, leaps into the end zone, touchdown, Penn State. Now that's the Tommy Stevens we
know. Yeah, that's exactly it. That sliding thing is not for him.
Stevens going to keep himself to the 5, dive to the end zone, touchdown, Penn State.
I'm just really proud of the progress we're making. I thought it was one of the more complete games we played, offense, defense, and special teams, really, in all 3 phases. It's great to see a lot of kids be able to get in the game and play well. I thought it was pretty cool. You know, Daylon Darien played on offense, played on defense, and played on special teams. I don't know when that's happened here in a long time. But I'm just really proud of the guys. I'm proud of the staff. I'm proud of the direction the program is getting and is going, and we're getting better. Early in the game, there's no doubt that was obvious right away that we were going to be able to protect well. And those guys have worked worked really hard. There's been times this season I think they've played great. There's been times they've been criticized. You know, we just keep loving these guys up and keep coaching them hard, and they stepped up. I thought Simpson came in tonight and did a really good job for us as well. But, you know, I think that's the difference. You know, we've talked about it, you know, many times. You know, when you got a chance to be physical up front on both sides of the ball, you got a chance to be successful. You know, we've proven that we can run with people on the perimeter, you know, and we gotta consistently be able to win the battles up front. The way we did it is how I think we have to do it. It's got to be a little bit at the running back position, a little bit at the quarterback position. It's got to be a blend. That's just kind of who we are and how the offense operates when I think it operates at its best. It's got to be a blend of all those things together. So really helpful, and you know, obviously great to see Tommy Stevens come in and do the things that he's been able to do. We've just been, you know, a really disciplined team for most of the year. You know, I'm going to go back and kind of look at the games where we had, you know, maybe a spike in penalties and try to see what that was and what the reasons for that. There's probably some theories out there, but, you know, I think, you know, we played good, disciplined football all year long. And, those are things that I look at as a head coach. How hard we play, what's our effort like on the first play, what's our effort like on the last play, what's it like on PAT field goal rush, those types of things. You know, penalties don't have a major factor in wins and loss, but I do think it shows a sign of a disciplined team, and it allows for for you to get into a flow on offense and defense.
Head coach James Franklin, and we were at breakfast on Saturday morning. I'm not going to say who it wasn't Jack or me. It was someone else in the crew who said, "Yeah, I'm a little worried about this game." I looked over and said, "I'm not." I said, "They're going to crush this team." I mean, I looked at the tape. I said, "If they can't do what they want, whatever they want," I said, "we should all just drive home now." I mean, you can see it on tape. There's nothing to do. Part of it has to do with you know, some of the injuries they've had, especially a quarterback and so forth, and, you know, a couple guys in the secondary. And Penn State just has better players, better personnel, better, you know, it's, you know. So there you are. I mean, that's they're 10-2. First time they've had back-to-back seasons where first time I've had back-to-back seasons of 10 wins or better since 08-09, only the third time under the in the Big Ten era. Jack and I drove home together on back to State College after the game. Jack says to me, he looks at me, he says, "No way." He said, "Why didn't you mention 68-69? I said, "The Big Ten era, Jack." He says, "Really?" I said, "Jack." I said, "If I went through all the years where they were back-to-back 10-win seasons, it'd be 68, 69, 72, 73, 77, 70. All right, he looks at me. All right. I gotcha. Oh, man. So we'll do that. Oh my goodness. So there you are. That is the story on the season. Now they await their bowl fate. Look, they've got to be in a New Year's Six game now. Notre Dame losing, I think, opened the door to that. But you know, you're a 10-win team. That's got to be enough to get the job done, especially if you're playing in the Big Ten. And we'll find out which one it's going to be on Sunday. Jack and I have also had this running joke between us that Alabama's going to be ranked number 2 tomorrow and Ohio State's going to be ranked 3. And if Ohio State loses the Big Ten championship game, that Ohio State's going to be ranked 2 tomorrow and Alabama's going to be ranked 3. But if Ohio State loses the Big Ten championship game, they'll fall back to 3 and Alabama will go to 2. It's just a running joke. But they sure do get more slack, the two of them, than anybody else. I mean, way more slack. I mean, you know what Alabama's strength of schedule is? Do you know what it is,
Sean? Not all that impressive. I would think their strongest opponent before Auburn was, what, Mississippi State, right?
Yeah. Now, Florida State was obviously, when the season began, was considered to be a great win. And they are, and Alabama is the one that knocked out their quarterback. But Alabama's strength of schedule, remember, there are 130 teams in FBS football. Their strength of schedule is 61. You know, Ohio State's is only 56, you know. So,
yeah, when you bring up cutting them some slack, it's just going to be really interesting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night when the next rankings come out. I would think Alabama should drop to at
they'll
least five. Yeah, I would
they'll,
say
they'll be five.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be five. I think number one will be Clemson.
Yeah.
Oklahoma will be two. Wisconsin will be three, and Auburn will be four. Yeah. That'll do it. I mean, that's... That's the way it is. They just seem to get more slack than other teams. I just don't get it. But the way it is. The way it is. I don't know. It's I don't know what I'm missing here with the two of them. I mean, when you see something like that, you ask yourself, okay, is there a particular reason why this isn't even? But that, you know, that's a different topic, different day. It's like when I look at, for example, Michigan and Ohio State, the game. Okay. But does anybody ever take the time to really look into why it's the game? I mean, have you ever thought about it? Why is it the game? Just because they play every year doesn't mean it's the game. Just because they play every year at the end. I mean, Minnesota and Wisconsin have played more times than Ohio State and Michigan have. If you really want to take a good, long, hard look at it, Ohio State and Michigan were the dominant teams where they could beat the other eight schools in whatever combination with relative ease almost every single year. They were the only two good teams in the Big Ten in the 60s, 70s, and into the 80s. And, of course, Woody and Bo. So what would happen is that nine times out of ten, they would enter, quote, the game, which would, of course, at a time where nobody else was, you know, when you're only having one game a week on TV... So they would enter the game with the Rose Bowl on the line and both undefeated. So it became the game. Now, a big reason why it was like that is that nobody else in the Big Ten was doing anything. Yeah, Indiana went in 67, I think, to the Rose Bowl. Johnny Pont was their coach. But at this particular time, nobody was doing anything. In the 70s, it was either one or the other that won. Into the early 80s, it was either one or the other. Everyone, they weren't challenged by anybody. Wisconsin wasn't very good then. Minnesota wasn't very good. I mean, Northwestern was terrible during that time. I mean, not bad. They were terrible. Illinois had some moments. But only moment. Indiana, I mean, Purdue had some quarterbacks. So, I mean, they could, you know. But Purdue wasn't winning enough to do anything. So that's how it became the game. It became the game in part because of the ineptitude of everybody else. Now let's take it one step further. Right? No one ever talks about this. But what are the bowl records of Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler? What are they? What are their bowl records? Where now they're facing somebody that's got comparable talent, probably comparable coaching and the whole thing. You know what their bowl records are?
They're both under 500. You know that? Bo Schembechler coached in 17 bowl games. They're 5-12. 5-12. Woody, 5-6 at Ohio State. Now, Woody did win four Rose Bowls. He won four Rose Bowls. The first, he was 4-0 in bowl games, four Rose Bowls. In his last six bowl games, Woody Hayes was 1-6. The last seven bowl games. 1-6 in his last seven bowl games. Really? The game? Okay. Once they were done playing each other, they couldn't beat anybody else. I mean, Woody Hayes' last Rose Bowl win was, what, 1968? He coached another 11 seasons after that. Weren't any Rose Bowl wins. In fact, there weren't bowl wins. Or what was he, 3? Maybe he was 3-0. That's right, the 73 game. Yeah, he must have won this. I think he did win the 73 game. And BTN did a great job at documenting that season of 73, which it opened the door for other teams to start going to bowl games. But again, it became the game in part because of the ineptitude of the other eight schools in the league. Now you got Ohio State winning 13 of the last 14. When does that stop being a rivalry? I mean, seriously, when does it stop being a rivalry? Now, James Franklin got asked about rivalries after the Maryland game. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
Of course, after the game, James Franklin was asked about the rivalry part of it because they're playing Maryland at the end. And I think what's happening is this: you have Maryland, Rutgers, and then outside the conference pit that are aching to have Penn State feel like they're rival. Because they need it. To be honest with you, Penn State doesn't really need it. Penn State's playing for big stakes now. The game has really changed. Penn State's the one out there now. They're trying to get to New Year's Six bowl games. They're trying to fight to get into the college football playoff. That's what they're fighting for. Rivalry game? You're just trying to win as many games as possible.
Sunbury Motors Ford knows it's the holiday season, and you need a dependable vehicle, but also need as much money left in your pocket as possible. Let's be honest. If somebody gives you way too much for your piece of junk trade or cash just for buying a car, who do you think is paying for it?
You are!
Come see why SMC has been selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Pick from over 100 2017 Ford F-Series trucks. Priced as low as $24,997. Choose from 42 2017 four-wheel drive Escapes, slashed as low as $19,975. At SMC, take $3,500 off all remaining 2017 Ford Explorers and get 0% financing for up to 72 months. Don't believe everyone else's hype. Sunbury Motors always gives you huge discounts, aggressive trade values, and the best financing options. And with over four city blocks of new Fords, they have what you're looking for. Sunbury Motors Ford in the 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades, finding you the right insurance at the right price. Auto, home, life, business insurance, they've got it all, and they have the experts there to take care of it. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Let's bring in Gennaro Armas, old friend, who for years was at the Associated Press in our area. Now the Associated Press working out of Wisconsin. Gennaro, it's always great to hear you on the other end. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, thank you. Same here. Good to be with you, Steve. How are things back home?
Everything's going pretty well. Going pretty well here. All right. Wisconsin undefeated 12-0. I want to start with the defense because it didn't take me long to vote for the guy I thought was the defensive player of the year. I'm not going to say who, but you can pretty much guess who it is. What has made them, and I don't think they have given up over 300 yards in a game since October 7th when they played Nebraska. Why have they played so well defensively for Jimmy Leonard?
Yeah, I think you're right on that stat there. But they are they're just a focused bunch. I think, you know, the linebackers get a lot of credit. Obviously, T.J. Edwards, who I think maybe this player you're talking about, is just a monster inside. They have two great outside linebackers in Garrett Dooley and Leon Jacobs, experienced secondary. But I think that defensive line doesn't get enough credit either. They've got athleticism up front. They can control the line of scrimmage. They shed blockers for Edwards and TJ Ryan Collie to make plays. And don't forget, this is a defense, too, that doesn't have Jack Citchie. He got hurt in preseason camp. Right. Went down for the year with a right knee injury. He was arguably, possibly the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year coming into the season. So it makes you wonder how good this defense could be if they were fully healthy too.
No question about that. And defense will keep you in every game no matter what. So then offensively, other than having a case at times of fumbleitis, how good has Jonathan Taylor been?
Whew, man, he has been a treat to watch. You know, the combination of the power, the speed, the agility, it's just made an impressive freshman year for Taylor. The athletic director, Barry Alvarez, who used to obviously coach here at Wisconsin, he coached Ron Dayne and that his great freshman year way back when. And, he can't remember Taylor is in that category with Dayne. He's climbing the record books, the freshman record books. He has just been fun to watch, and it's going back to unheralded parts of the game of the team. You know, it's a reflection on the offensive line too. This was an offensive line that was maligned a bit a couple of years ago. They played a lot of freshmen and sophomores, and they're just coming into their own this year with some three juniors on the line, and it's all sort of come together with that running game and Taylor having that being the next guy off the Wisconsin running back assembly line.
Has Alex Hornibrook, whose sister, by the way, goes to Penn State, has he improved as a quarterback, or is it just the running game has allowed him to be more effective as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both. It obviously helps to be able to head off to Taylor when things are in a rut. The interceptions have been the biggest problems for Hornibrook. He has just made these sort of groan-inducing, jaw-dropping throws in the double coverage sometimes that you wonder, you know, what are you doing? At the same time, he has, he's played well in the red zone. He's got pretty decent pocket awareness. And I think the best sign for the Badgers is that he had probably his best game at Big Ten play last week against Minnesota. Now, it is Minnesota, but for what it's worth, to be able to bounce back from couple bad games early in the season to have a good day against Minnesota going into Ohio State, that's a good sign for them.
Now, what has Troy Fumagalli, though, meant? Because obviously Cephas got hurt, so what has Fumagalli meant?
Well, he's one of the – they don't have many seniors, actually, on offense who play regularly. Fumagalli's one of those guys. He's a big guy, over the middle. He gives Hornibrook a safety valve over the middle and in the flat. His leadership has been invaluable for them. He's played in these big spots before. He actually played in that one of the few guys on the team who played in the 2014 Big Ten title game when Wisconsin got blown out by Ohio State, which they would like to forget about. But yeah, he offers them good balance in the passing game, and a good balance to the young receiving core on the outside that's actually played very well for them.
All right, for whatever reason, Wisconsin has not received a lot of credit until lately.
Right.
How have the people in Wisconsin felt about the fact that they, Wisconsin's been really good as a program for years now. This is not the 70s and the 80s any longer.
Yep.
How frustrated are fans getting there that, they're finally getting, quote, their just due, and it occurs now?
Yeah, I think there is a sense of among fans here that they're not getting respected, not getting enough respect nationally, and especially this year with the college football playoff rankings. I think I don't think there's the sort of level of outcry that you might get if this was an SEC school, but I think part of that is due to the sort of they take the lead from Paul Christ and sort of the tone that he set with his team and in the program about staying focused, being even keeled, don't get too high, don't get too low. You win your next one, and that gets you a step closer to your ultimate goal. I think the fans have bought into that too. They would like to be more respected, and they'd like to have that automatic top four spot to get into the playoffs. But I think they sort of understand how you get there and what the tone that Chris has set for this team.
What are your thoughts on the matchup with Ohio State?
Yeah, I was just thinking that obviously today. My initial gut went back and thought about how Penn State blew them out in the second half in last year's game and how that would weigh on this defense. Now it's obviously a different year, different defense. They possibly could be better. They are better this year, at least statistically. I thought maybe this is probably going to be one of those years where the East takes the game. But what I can't shake too is how Ohio State, the dud that Ohio State put up against Iowa a few weeks ago, coming off that emotional win over Penn State, and try to explain that. I'm wondering could they possibly do that again for some reason, or is Urban going to get them prepared for that? I think Wisconsin pulls it out in a close one. I think they've shown grit and they've gutted out. They've weathered a lot of bad spots with their offense, with the turnovers. The defense is, as you mentioned, one of the best in the country here. They have to prove themselves against the East and show that they want to. They deserve a spot in the playoff without any debate.
Gennaro, I need to ask you a little bit about the Packers situation. Sunday Night Football, they were beaten by the Steelers on the final play on the field goal by Chris Boswell, 31-28. That looks like the best game Brett Hundley's played to this point. What's the feeling been about the Packers since Aaron Rodgers went out? And was there any kind of outcry outside of the media about Colin Kaepernick?
There was, to your last question, your second part of that question, there was some outcry on social media. I don't think it was as loud as other situations like when the Texans quarterback situation a few weeks ago. But McCarthy from the start has been very, from the start after when Rodgers got hurt, has been very adamant that, in explaining the situation, Hundley has been with the Packers for 3 years. He has a lot invested in Hundley and you know, he wanted to see this through with Hundley, no matter how long Rodgers was going to be out. In terms of the Packers itself, you know, they're at this crossroads, obviously, at 5-6 and with a crowded NFC playoff picture. Yes, Hundley played. That was his best game in this 5-6 games he's been starting. There were a lot of positive signs out of there, a lot of positive signs from the defense that, you know, forced three turnovers. You know, they have a lot of good to take out of that win, that loss. At the same time, they're 5-6, and that NFC picture is really muddled, and there is a, I would say there's a good question about, you know, whether even if Rodgers is healthy enough, you know, whether it's even smart enough for him to come back if, you know, there's not a realistic shot for them to get in the playoffs.
Last night, I thought Mike McCarthy coached a great game. No Aaron Rodgers, no Clay Matthews, among others. Is he considered to be safe, stable in Green Bay? No issue with ownership management or anything?
Oh yeah, I think McCarthy is safe. For all intents and purposes, he gets the pass, if you want to call it that, because Rodgers is hurt this year. I think it's probably a little disappointing for fans to see how Hundley, after 2.5 years in the system, it's taken him a while to sort of get to at least the level he was at last night in Pittsburgh. But I think McCarthy is safe.
Gennaro, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. It's really great to hear you again.
You too. Take care.
Gennaro Armas joining us. Associated Press, now working out of Wisconsin, and after for many years working out of Central Pennsylvania. First-class guy all the way. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today, 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. College football playoff rankings will come out tomorrow night. While Jack Ham and I kid about Ohio State being number 2 and Alabama 3, and if Ohio State loses, they'll fall to 3 and Alabama will move to 2. That is just a joke. Neither one will be in the final, in the top 4 tomorrow. The four tomorrow and whatever combination will probably be Clemson, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, and Auburn. And then maybe 5-6 could be Alabama, Ohio State. I don't, you know, see how that plays. Or maybe Georgia. Georgia might be, Alabama might be 5, Georgia 6, maybe Ohio State 7. I expect Penn State to probably be 9 in this. You know, maybe they'll keep Miami in front of them. You know, even though they shouldn't, Miami should be behind Penn State now. But to get to a New Year's Six bowl game, I know everyone wanted an undefeated season. That I completely understand. I realize most people had expectations. That I understand. Expectations really soared after the win at Michigan. That I understand. Expectations were really high at the end of three quarters of the Ohio State game. All these things I understand. Now you have to then sit there and instead of looking at it and saying, well, they coulda, woulda, shoulda, what did they end up? They ended up 10-2. So in a program that had been tossed to the side with sanctions, which then were rolled back and gave Penn State a chance to get competitive far more quickly. Think of it this way. Penn State is only heading into its third recruiting cycle of 85 scholarships. They haven't had three yet. They're heading into their third. So they've only had two cycles with 85 scholarships. And they're heading into their third. And in that period of time, they've won 19 of their last 22 games. In that period of time, they have registered back-to-back 10-win seasons. They haven't done that since 08-09. And before that, had not done it since 93-94. So it's only the third time in the Big Ten era that Penn State has done this. As for back-to-back New Year's Six bowl games, that hasn't happened at Penn State in 31 years. 85, Orange Bowl National Championship game. 86, Fiesta Bowl National Championship game. It's the last time Penn State went to back-to-back New Year's Six games. So if Penn State were to get a Cotton, Orange, Fiesta, or Peach Bowl bid in combination with the Rose Bowl last year, that's the first time this program's done it in 31 years. And again, the circumstances to bring Penn State back to this point makes it even more impressive in such a short period of time. All of us ached during 12, 13, 14, and 15 to see Penn State win 10 games in a season. Now they've done it in back-to-back years. All of us in 12, 13, 14, and 15 ache for the time that Penn State could get back into a New Year's Six conversation. They did it last year. Now they put themselves back in the conversation this year. Some said it would take 8 to 10 years to do that. To do it now in 16 and 17, amazing. Remember, when the original sanctions came out, 16 was to be the first, 16 was to be the first season Penn State was bowl eligible again. When the original sanctions came out, 2016 was the first season that Penn State was going to be bowl eligible with the original sanctions. So when you see a team win 21 games in 2 years with one to play, when you see a program get back-to-back 10-win seasons, when you see a team go back-to-back with a possibility of New Year's Six bowl games, not many schools are doing that now that have been established for a long period of time. What's the Texas excuse? What's the Nebraska excuse? What's the Florida excuse? What's the Tennessee excuse? Penn State's competing now on a big stage. Huge stage. And playing for big stakes now almost every year. Almost every year playing for big stakes. This is the way it was these last 2 years. This is the way it was in the late 60s, the 70s, and into the 80s. It's the way it was into the early 90s. And that's the way it was here. Now, they're back to doing that again, where they're fighting for the big wins, the big games. Now, they're going to have to find a way, obviously, to close out a couple of these big games, where now you make the next step. I mean, that next step is going to be really important, because now you want to get to that college football playoff. You want to be the one that is sitting there that's one of the four teams that's the focal point on whether it's December 31st or January 1, whatever day they're playing it on a particular year. It looked like the shot was possibly there this year, then the back-to-back problems with Ohio State and Michigan State. All right. It's part of being in a competitive division. It's part of playing on the road. Nathan Davis, next half hour. We'll talk Bucknell basketball. Staff holiday party is December 16th, Sean?
Unchanged, yes. And Jamie says hi.
tell Jamie I said hi as well, you and bet. Tell her I am not confused by the date. There are certain things where you have to do it for the betterment of the entire company. This is one of them.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.